Welcome to episode 108 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will know everything you need to know about April Fool's Day, be clear about exactly what a fool is, understand two specific expressions with the word fool in them, and ensure that you will never again feel foolish when talking about fools. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode. Today we are talking about a particular day that's very interesting in the calendar, in the English-speaking world. It's slightly different in the Spanish-speaking world because the day is actually in April in the English-speaking world and in December in the Spanish-speaking world. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And as usual, Alistair is here with me. How are you doing, Alistair?
I'm doing fine, thanks, Daniel. And you? Everything good?
I'm fine, yes.
Good.
So this particular day that we're going to be talking about today is not in this particular month because we're in March, but it's right at the beginning of the next month, April, isn't it? And it's the 1st of April, and that particular day we call April Fool's Day, don't we? April Fool's Day.
Yeah, strange name, April Fool. Fools with an apostrophe S. April
That's
Fool's
right.
Day. And yes. That is the day after Easter this year, just falls on a Monday after the Easter holidays.
That's right.
1st
That's
of April. Right. Yeah, so it's not the same for... The same thing exists with a different name in the Spanish-speaking world, or at least in Spain. I'm pretty sure it's also in Latin America. People can let us know if that's not the case.
Mm.
But totally different date. No, in December, is it 20... I think it's 28th of December.
I think it is, yeah.
El día, so it's Santo Inocente. Saint Innocent. Yes. So they call it El Día de los Inocentes, the Day of the Innocents. And our equivalent of that with a totally different name, and we were talking about this before we started recording, I've absolutely no idea why it's called April Fool's Day. Well, or why it's the 1st of April. So I understand but like why it's the 1st of April, at least in Spanish it sort of makes some sense because, you know, it's a saint who's called Innocent.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, you sort of play jokes on people, on the idea of people being inocentes.
Yeah.
And the English equivalent is very simple. Well, it's the same thing, really. You do the same kind of things, play the same kind of tricks on people.
Yeah.
Why it's the 1st of April? No idea.
Maybe I should
investigate one day and find out.
Yeah,
but I'm too lazy.
There is probably a reason for
there must
that,
be a reason there? Why
for
that
sure,
date.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it's kind of an interesting day. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, our listeners probably know what we're kind of talking about. And because that day is coming up, we wanted to focus a little bit on the idea of a fool, right? Because obviously the name of the day is April Fool's Day. We kind of wanted just to explain exactly what a fool is, didn't we, Alistair? Because there are kind of two definitions. One that is more maybe... Well, one that is definitely historical.
Yeah, the origin, which I suppose, of the second one, why we use it in the way we use it.
Yeah, definitely. And the other one is also interesting. So let's go into those two. Mm-hmm. The first idea of a fool, certainly historically, was the idea of a court jester, right? Somebody who used to entertain the king, was brightly coloured or brightly dressed, you probably see this type of individual in films, don't you?
Medieval films is typical. No,
that's right.
The court jester, they were called, or the court fool. Yeah, and they would wear silly costume and dance and sing and say silly things and act in a silly way to make the king or the laugh, no? To entertain. So that's the origin of a fool. I think in Spanish, a buffon, I think.
Yes.
Italian, too. Yes. There's a famous goalkeeper of Italy called Buffon, his surname. Mm-hmm. Which in English would sound strange, you know, if you were called, you know, Mr. Fool.
That's right.
People would laugh
Absolutely.
At you.
Yeah.
So, of course, April Fool's Day is the day of the fool. which is this concept of this silly person in the past. No, the court jester, as they were called. Jester is another word.
So that's the historical side. But then on the same way, the definition can also be somebody who lacks good judgment, right? Mm. So somebody who's a fool is somebody who is not very good at kind of making good decisions or making decisions that will be beneficial for them, right?
Yeah, sort of the opposite of wise, sabio, you could say, no? A wise man thinks carefully about things and makes intelligent decisions based on, I don't know, facts and experience. And a fool is the opposite, no? He's sort of, coming from that idea of the court jester, no? He's a very silly, stupid person. So it's the idea that, yes, you don't think very carefully before you make decisions. You make the wrong decisions based on incorrect information, or you don't even... Yeah, so, you know, a foolish... there's an adjective, no? Foolish. So if you make a foolish choice, foolish decision, it's not a wise one. It's not very clever. And probably you're going to suffer for it, no? Because you made the wrong decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And this kind of then brings me to an expression that I heard a lot when I first came to Spain, especially related to sort of speaking English in front of others, especially speaking English in front of other Spanish speakers. This was the main issue. There was a lot of kind of feeling, oh, I don't want to speak English in front of other Spanish speakers, right? Because I don't want, and they always use this particular expression, which I found very interesting, which was hacer el ridículo, right? No quiero hacer el ridículo. And there was this,
Make or do the ridiculous, but we don't say that.
Sure, exactly. And I found that interesting, partly because when they wanted to express that idea to me, they didn't really have an expression. They kind of like said, I don't want to hacer el ridículo, right? So they didn't really have that vocabulary available to them. And that's kind of what we also want to give in this particular episode, is how people should express that idea, right? Now, hopefully you don't want to express that idea in many particular situations.
You don't want to say it's ridiculous in front
exactly.
of
exactly. Yeah, you maybe don't even want to necessarily admit it to other people, but from time to time, you might want to express this particular idea, right? And so how would you say that, Alistair? Because it's kind of, again, we use this word fool, right?
Yeah, just coming back to the translation, I said buffon, and that's the historical idea of this person in the court making the king laugh. But a sort of more modern word, the way we use it in modern day, I suppose the Spanish word would be, say, calling somebody, like, if you call somebody a fool, it's like saying they're tonto, no? Tonto, so like silly person, stupid, no? So yeah, you don't want to make yourself look foolish. So if you make yourself look foolish, you appear to other people like a fool. And a fool is not a good thing, no, as we've seen. It's a not very clever, rather silly person who doesn't think before they speak or make decisions. So you don't want to appear... you could say to appear foolish or to make yourself look foolish by saying something silly or whatever in front of your colleagues in a meeting, for example. You have got the expression to look ridiculous. So if you make yourself look foolish or silly, you could also say you're making yourself look ridiculous. We don't use that as much, though, do we, that expression? It's more to appear or to make yourself look foolish. I think it's more common than...
That's right, yeah. So there are a number of different ways to translate this, hacer el ridículo, right? So you can make your... You can say, as you said, Alistair, like, I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to look ridiculous. That's kind of like the first two options.
Yeah.
And then also you can use the reflexive, right? So you could say, I don't want to make a fool of myself.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another option that you have there.
They're using the noun,
in terms of translating
fool.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can use the adjective foolish or the noun a fool, un tonto, no, or a silly, stupid person. So you don't want to make a fool of yourself in public, no, in front of other people.
That's right.
Because you've said something foolish, you know, a silly thing that people maybe laugh at you or whatever it may be, you know. So you feel, this is coming on to another word. So if you do make a fool of yourself in front of other people and maybe people are laughing at your... silly comment or
at your
whatever.
Expense
laughing at your expense, they're not laughing with you, they're laughing at you.
Oh, that's very, very important as well. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, preposition there. Yeah.
Yeah, to laugh with people is together, no? And it's, we're laughing together at the same joke. But if people are laughing at you, it's at your expense. So you're the one they're laughing at.
Exactly.
Because you've probably done or said something foolish. No? So you look like a fool or an idiot, if you want to use that word a bit stronger, idiot perhaps, than fool.
Yes.
So, yeah, so how do you feel? How would you feel, Daniel, in that situation? You've said something foolish or silly. Everyone's laughing at you. How do you feel in that?
Yeah, you feel embarrassed, don't you?
Yeah, very embarrassed, probably.
Yeah.
And you go red
in the face. It's an embarrassing, embarrassing situation, right? And this is an interesting word in itself as well, obviously connected to the whole idea, but something that is a little bit kind of confusing for Spanish speakers because they're this whole idea, I think the brain connects the idea of embarrassing with embarazada.
Yeah.
And so there's this kind of confusion in many cases. Yeah. And so, but embarrassing is absolutely fine. Okay. But yeah. The concept in English, obviously, is you've got embarrassing and pregnant, right? But it's just that our brain, or the Spanish-speaking brain, often connects the whole idea of embarrassing and embarazada, because obviously the two words are very, very similar there, aren't they? And that's kind of like what starts to create some sort of confusion there. Yeah. But yeah,
and we don't want to confuse those two things. Very different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, also embarazada, you're pregnant, and then embarrassing, yes, this situation where you feel foolish or silly, people are laughing at you, maybe you go red in the face, very typical now, the blood goes to your face.
Yeah.
And you want, what's the expression? You sometimes you want the ground to open up beneath you, no, and disappear. Yes. From that situation.
Yeah.
Because it's not, true. It's a very uncomfortable feeling, isn't it, to be,
yeah, absolutely,
to feel embarrassed or feel foolish or ridiculous in front of other people. No? Something we want to avoid in life in general, and obviously we're looking at the business side of our work, even worse in a personal situation, well, with friends or family, but it doesn't really matter. It's not that important, really. But obviously in a work situation, in a serious, formal, and some kind of meeting with your customer's client, with your colleagues, with your boss, you don't want to say or do something foolish. You don't want to, you know, make a fool of yourself in front of those people. Not very good for your career, no?
Yeah. I think in a way, this whole idea of hacer el ridículo and comes down to the essence of why languages are, or foreign languages are so difficult, right? Because we want this sort of security. We want to be sure that what we're saying is right, right? And so the danger of hacer el ridículo in a foreign language is just much, much higher.
Yes. Much easier.
And so we have this fear in many cases because we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to make mistakes or silly mistakes, right? And so that fear then in some ways stops us from speaking, really expressing ourselves, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's not that you necessarily really are making a fool of yourself, and maybe no one else in this situation in the meeting thinks like that. They're not thinking you're an idiot because your English is not perfect or you made a mistake. There probably maybe other non-native speakers whose English is no better than yours and make the same mistakes.
Sure,
and even native speakers are not going to judge you, usually.
They
understand, you know, it's difficult and you're speaking in your second language. But you, it's your own feeling, no? Your lack of confidence, we've spoken about this many times, in your own ability, no? So you're nervous about speaking English in front of other people, probably particularly in front of native speakers, even worse.
Yeah.
And you're afraid of making a fool of yourself or appearing ridiculous in front of those people. And that fear just makes you worse, probably. You're probably likely to make more mistakes.
Absolutely, no question.
Or you just don't speak, you don't contribute to the meeting as you should.
And that's a mental block that is really, really very, very difficult in some cases to overcome, but it should definitely be something that our listeners should be sort of aware of, and I'm sure they are aware of that particular, you know, feeling that of fear and not wanting to be foolish or whatever, right? That's a very obvious fear, but it's how to overcome that is the key element, right?
Yeah.
And in a way, it's, you have to overcome it, you have to sort of take a risk to a certain degree. There is always a certain level of risk associated with speaking a foreign language. You can never be in a completely secure situation, you know, both in terms of listening and in terms of production. So like whether you're listening to somebody, it's really unlikely that you're going to understand 100% of what that person says. You're going to have to guess a little bit.
Yeah.
You can obviously ask for clarification and all that type of stuff, which is fantastic. Get those particular words right in your vocabulary to ask for clarification. Clarification in itself is a fantastic word, right? So you will have that situation. There is a level of risk when you're listening to somebody, not understanding fully, and of course when you're expressing yourself, not being completely right. But the more you're used to that, and the better, the more you can live with it, let's say.
Yeah, living with it, that's the... Yeah. Say, not caring about it too much.
Exactly, in a way, yes.
Yeah, don't let it affect your... It's more important to communicate and try and get your ideas across as best you can. It's always better than, you know, having that... Not communicating because of that fear of... You know, making a fool of yourself or looking foolish, which there is a risk of doing. But I think most of the time it's in your own mind.
Sure.
It's you
absolutely
who believes that you've made a fool of yourself. You go, oh, no, it's so embarrassing because I made that silly mistake. And probably most of the people in the meeting didn't even notice. Either didn't notice or don't mind or don't care.
Yeah.
It's you who has that, you know, you've got to overcome your own, what would it be, in insecurities.
Insecurities, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. No, that's completely right. And I think it's really, in essence, a mindset issue, right? It's about how you think. It was exactly what you're saying, Alistair. It's about how you think about this. If you create it as a big problem, then, of course, it's going to limit you and you're going to really, really limit yourself as well in terms of your participation in a business environment, right? Yeah. But the more you can get over it, the more you can think about it in a different way, the more you will free yourself from those fears, which I think is very, very important. So that's probably the most important message we can get across today in from all this whole episode, really, which is obviously very interesting in terms of the whole idea of the word fool and the concept of making a fool of yourself and how you overcome that particular barrier, right? I think is vitally important. Yeah.
Well, in fact, just occurred to me, to be honest, we're going to go on to explain this word fool also can be used as a verb with a different meaning. Well, it's connected, but it does have a different meaning or a different use. And it was just occurring to me that you get these people incredibly self-confident who just speak and speak fluently and fast. And they're probably making lots of mistakes, but they don't care. They're not worried about it. They just speak.
Sure.
And they really impress people. So in fact, if you have that confidence and you speak sort of fluently and just get your ideas across, making grammatical mistakes and forgetting prepositions and whatever, you can easily fool the other people in the meeting, non-native speakers particularly, but even native speakers, into believing or thinking that you have a fantastic level of English, when maybe it's not actually true, or not true from the perspective of, you know, doing a Cambridge exam. You might not get a great result because, you know, your grammar's not great. But you sound fantastic.
And
sometimes that's the most important thing. So you can fool people, which means to trick, make people believe things are not necessarily true about your English simply by the confidence that you show by speaking, and people go, wow, English is fantastic. Now, if I, as an English teacher, or you actually sat there in the room listening to that person making notes and analyzing, you could probably come up, they've made about 25 basic grammatical errors but nobody noticed. They go, oh, their English is brilliant. So you fooled everyone into believing that you have an advanced level when maybe really you haven't.
Well, that's true.
Although you have in the sense of your fluency. So there's different ways to judge these things. No?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
What is a good level? You know, there's a philosophical question.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a very good point, Alistair. I really like that. That's very, very true. Yeah. Good. Okay, so there you go. That's a bit of the mindset issue related to feeling foolish and how you overcome that feeling of, not wanting to be foolish or to make a fool of yourself, all of those, very important. But that mindset issue is really, really something that you should focus on. And the whole idea of what Alistair explained there is also very interesting. If you can transmit that confidence, even when you're making a few mistakes, that's the essence of where you want to get to. It's the ultimate goal. Even if you make a few mistakes, it doesn't really matter. You want to transmit that confidence. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So let's go into three little expressions, aren't they? Kind of connected to this whole thing. The first one is you fell for it, isn't it, Alistair? Now, what does that mean exactly?
Well, we'll go back to the April Fools. And what is that? What do you do on April Fool's Day? What do people do? Well, there's sort of two things. Yeah. There's newspapers and TV, etc., try to fool people. So to fool is like engañar, you know, to trick people, to make people believe things aren't true. So they publish stories, totally ridiculous stories often. But, you know, aliens have landed in Washington and some people believe them, no? I think we had in a previous episode of the podcast, gullible, I remember. So maybe, to be gullible is where you're easily fooled or tricked into believing things that are patently not true because they're so ridiculous. Yeah. We go, oh, really? Aliens have landed. You go, no, ha-ha. And then you say, ha-ha, April Fool, meaning you're a fool, you're a silly person for believing that thing I just told you that is so obviously ridiculous.
Sure.
So there's the whole concept of fooling people, no? It's to make them... Suppose you make that person look foolish by the fact they believed what you told them, which, you know, really they shouldn't have believed it. It's so silly. So there's that whole idea that you make... So people try to make you believe things that are not true, like the media. And also you can play pranks. Now, what is a prank? That's a good word. To prank people or to play a prank on someone. That's another aspect of April Fool's Day. I don't know if you ever did that when you were a kid at your school or with your friends.
Not really. Not really. Mm. Not in that way. I assume maybe because I wasn't in the UK.
Maybe in Belgium this was not a thing.
No. We did it in a different way in Belgium, but not like that. That was more kind of like there were more pranks associated with sort of the end of school year or something like that.
Well, you can do pranks at any time. They're not only on April Fool's Day, of course.
That's true.
So a prank is like a practical joke. So it's not a joke like you tell a joke, a funny story, and people laugh. It's a practical joke or a prank you play on someone. So you do something that makes them look silly or ridiculous. So they don't think it's funny. I mean, it's only funny for the people playing the prank, not for the victim of the prank. So I remember our school on April Fool's Day, for example, we would do things like, you know, when the teacher went out, we put drawing pins, little sharp things on the seat, on the chair, teacher's chair. So when he came back and sat down, he'd be like, ow, and everyone would laugh. So the teacher didn't think it was funny. He was the victim of our prank, but we thought it was hilarious, no?
Right, and the teacher didn't see that. Didn't
he couldn't see the joke, but we thought...
No, he couldn't see the joke, but he also couldn't see the pin.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, sometimes they wouldn't go, I know what day it is, April Fool's, very funny kids. Or they just sat down without looking, and then it was hilarious. Or putting a cup or container of water on the top of the door, balanced, and when the teacher opened the door, it would fall on his head. And again, you know, maybe he or she didn't think that was very funny, but we thought it was hilarious. This is playing a prank or a practical joke on someone. That's another aspect of April Fool's Day, I suppose, because that person with the water on, you know, completely wet and everyone laughing at them, they look like a fool. You've made your teacher look foolish, which, you know, kids think is great, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Kids being kids. Kids will always be kids. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Or even some adults sometimes. But
That's true. Okay, we've got two more. This one's an interesting one. I find it kind of interesting. A fool and his money are soon parted. That's kind of a very... It's kind of not something that's used very frequently in terms of an expression, but I find it interesting as a concept, right?
We all know it. We all recognize that expression. Even if we don't use it.
Yeah. So the idea really is there that, well, whether that person has a lot of money or little money is not really the point. It's just that, you know, you can convince that person maybe to buy something that they don't really need or doesn't exist. Yeah, exactly. So
they're easily parted, separated from the money. It's typical when you get people who maybe win the lottery and not used to having money and suddenly they're rich. But because they're not, they're a bit foolish. So what we said before, no, they're not wise. They're not very good at taking sensible decisions. So they just go and invest the money in silly things, or they spend it on, I don't know, gambling, no, on horse races or whatever. And so very quickly, after a year or two, they suddenly find they're back where they started. They've lost all their...
Absolutely. Money. No, that's a good definition, actually. Yeah. People who are not very good at managing their money, let's say.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, yeah. They're not used to it because they never used to have that type of money available to
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Well.
And, you know, they're not business people or accountants or they're normal people. So they maybe do silly things. Or, of course, when people know you've got all that money, there'll immediately be people around you who are trying to take that money off you in any way they can.
Well, of course.
By convincing you to invest in this or do that or give them.
Yeah.
You know, so they're trying to fool you, to engañar, no, to trick you, to cheat you in some way, to get your money. And of course, if you're a fool, you'll easily be parted from your money. You go, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Here, have all my money. Go and invest it in apartments in Marbella. And then it turns out there are no apartments in Marbella and that person has disappeared with all your money.
Absolutely.
So you've been, you know, fooled, tricked, cheated. There are all many words for this. No?
Timada. Ripped off like we've covered in the other.
You with your Polish taxi driver. Yeah, some people may remember.
Yeah.
So yeah, fool and his money are easily parted.
An interesting expression. Yeah. And then the last one being fool's gold, which is another very interesting idea, which is basically the idea. And I think this must actually does come from an actual idea. I think there is some sort of, later on, I think the idea has been, or the concept of this was that it would be something that is perceived as being valuable, but actually it isn't valuable, right? But I think the origin of the particular expression goes back to when people were looking for gold, and there is some sort of stone that looks like gold, but it actually isn't gold.
Now we talked about this before we record, and I said I didn't know exactly where that came from, but now I think about it, I think that is the origin, something to do with when you're mining for gold or looking for gold. There are certain things that appear to be gold, but it's not. Mm. So I'm rich, and that's the fool's gold, because you've been fooled or tricked into believing it is something that it is not.
So it's kind of gold. An interesting idea. Yeah,
and then you can use it in general. Now, I suppose for anything that appears to have value, but it's not true. It doesn't have any value.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I saw a film recently that was kind of around that whole idea of about these different investors, and they were wanting to go and find new sources of gold, and they were desperately searching for new locations, you know.
Yeah.
And in the end, they went out there, they tried to find it, but in fact what they found was fool's gold. They actually found fool's gold, but they didn't want the whole market or everybody know that. Yeah. They didn't want to know that they'd actually found, so they kind of tricked the system and made everybody believe that it was actually real gold. And then they were found out later on, you see.
So they managed to fool the world or the business community in believing that this fool's gold wasn't fool's gold. It was
exactly
real gold.
Yeah, exactly.
And that made all those people look, when it was discovered that it was fool gold, all those people were made to look foolish, you know? They looked like fools. <right. laughs> They made fools of themselves by believing this ridiculous story.
Absolutely. So there you go. I think we've covered everything around. Yes, I think we can't do anything more. So thank you very much, Alistair. That was really great. Maybe just go quickly through it. We started with the whole idea of April's Fool's Day, which is the 1st of April in the calendar, slightly different to here in Spain, which is in December. We then gave a definition of a fool. There are two different types of definitions there, sort of like the court jester, which is more historic. And then the whole idea of somebody lacking good judgment, that can also be a fool. Then we went to the whole idea of hacer el ridículo and how to translate that properly, which was basically to make a fool of yourself or to look foolish or even to look ridiculous. You can actually say that. And then the connected idea of the fact that you might feel embarrassed, right? After if you're in a situation where suddenly somebody thinks that you made to look ridiculous or foolish, then you feel embarrassed, right? And then we went for three different little expressions at the end where you say you fell for it. It's kind of like, oh, you fell for that. It's kind of like when somebody falls for something, it means that they assume it to be normal, right?
Yeah, you tell them a ridiculous story that's not true and they go, oh, really? And they believe it and you go, ha ha, April Fool. Oh, it doesn't have to be April Fool's Day in any situation. So you fell for it.
Absolutely.
You fell for my trick. So you believe me when I'm telling you something that's not true. So that's exactly what it means when you say somebody falls for something.
Yeah, exactly. Then the second expression was, a fool and his money are soon parted, which is a very interesting one. And the third one was fool's gold. Yeah. So hopefully, as I said just now, that covers, I think that covers it, right, Alistair?
I think probably. So, yeah. Every aspect of this word fool that just came from this idea of next Monday, 1st of April, being April Fool's Day.
Absolutely.
It's really inspired it. You think, oh, yes, well, fool actually has quite a lot of, well, the same meaning, I suppose, but different uses, different ways of using it. No?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Alistair, thank you very much. And I'll see you again next week. Yes.
Yes. Cheers.
All right. Speak soon. Bye. See you then. Bye. Ciao. Bye-bye.